All right, this morning we will jump in to the Gospel of John. We won't put a whole lot of emphasis on the first three or four verses as we covered that about 3 or 4 weeks ago, kind of in a different context, but not wanting to rehash. As we look into John and his writings, we come to the understanding that when he wrote this gospel, it was towards the end of the first century, somewhere between the years 90 and 100. And this stands out just for the fact that the other three gospels were written much earlier. All of Paul's epistles had been written by the time he sat down to write this. And he takes a very different way of expounding on the life of Christ. Where Matthew, Mark, and Luke are more of a narrative of who Christ was, John, on the other hand, tells us how we can know him. And, you know, where we can come to know him in the other Gospels, because they're all the Word of God, John specifically is going to bring out the truths of Christ. As the Holy Spirit worked through John and gave him the words to pen, it's interesting the way he does begin. And we kind of talked about that last week. The other three Gospels kind of go into the birth of Christ. They go into the early life of Christ. John goes all the way back to the beginning of beginnings. So if you would, open with me to John chapter 1, where we'll read the first 13 verses today. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him, and apart from Him nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend Him. There came a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Let's pray. Father, we pray for you to show us this morning the truths of your word. Father, we will talk this morning of some very basic, yet of such importance, Lord, the doctrine of who Christ is. Father, I pray that everyone here this morning who calls you Father, that they have come to you through the power of your Spirit, through the work of the cross. And Father, not just through tradition or other forms of assurance. Father, may you use me this morning as a mouthpiece for you. Lord, not to spew out my own personal baggage of what I think. But Father, may I exposit your word the way you would have it done this morning. Fill me with your Spirit. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Now we talked of a few weeks ago, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Jesus, this is one of the primary passages that we go to for the Trinity of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And verse 2 says, He was in the beginning with God. So, Jesus Christ was not some created being. He did not come along at some time. He always has been. So, He was in the beginning with God. And as we think of that and think of His deity in that way, we can only ascribe to Him all the praise that is due. Now verse 3 says, all things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. This is one of those things that gets you thinking. It's another one of those moments. You know, as we look back at Genesis, and Genesis says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God spoke, and it was done. Let there be light. Well, John goes a little bit deeper, saying that it's the person of Christ, the personification of the Word, that all things came into being. And we can argue whether it's God, if it's God the Father, if it's God the Son, if it's God the Spirit. I'm going to rest on the argument at this point that it was God. Because as we talk of any of the members of the Godhead, it is God. So just to avoid confusion in my own mind, it is a truthful statement to say that God created all things. We said a couple weeks ago that John is the personification of the, or Jesus is the personification of the Word. That He is this in the flesh. And that He cannot change His Word. And that's comforting to me. As I was having conversations this week with people that I love, kind of asking them the question, what authority do we have that God's Word is true? I'm going to ask you guys that question this morning. What authority do we have that God's Word is true? Some of the answers that I got was that we can see that His Word is true in nature and of those things around us. We can see that His Word is true in the truthfulness of things that have come out of it. Is that what we stand on to know that God's Word is true? Brian's shaking his head. And I learned something new this week that I never... And I didn't do any more research into it to see exactly what it meant. But the reason why God's Word is true, the authority that we stand on that God's Word is true, is that God's Word tells us it is true. And this person told me, he said, well, you are using a circular argument. I said, okay. At some point I'll look up to see what a circular argument means. But that's how we know. I mean, I don't need to know that God's Word is true because His Word tells us there's morning and night a day. Is that true? Is that what I put my faith in, that God's Word is true? No. And as I think I did a pretty good job a few weeks ago of stating, this is the only thing we can stand on as an absolute. You know, and I asked the question, well, what absolutes are there in this world? Well, science. Different laws. Okay. Can God change those things? I guess through a miracle or something. So can God change them? Can God change this? No. That's what we talked about a few weeks ago. He's incapable of doing everything. But changing this, because to change this would be to change Himself. So Christ, the Word, was with God. He was there in the beginning. And He was God. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. And we're going to have some fun with this. I mean, when we talk about light. Because that's through verse 13, we're going to see the word light used for Christ in so many different ways. What is light? What is a definition of light? Find you science buffs. A good definition of light is the absence of darkness. A few years ago, I don't even know how many now because we're old, we were coming up through West Virginia in Beckley. And they have, you know, every mile and a half there was a billboard for this coal mine that you can go into. So, being the adventurous couple that we were and wanting to do something wonderful for our kids. We thought a gold mine would have been better. We thought a coal mine would just be the greatest thing. And while we were down in the pit of this mind, the guy told us that he was going to turn off the lights. And he said that, when those lights were off, that was as close to pure darkness that you could get to. Took his word for it. He turned off the lights. It was dark. There was none of this. He made the statement, do you remember this? That if you were down there for any length of time, you would go insane because of the darkness. You remember that? Well, I hope I'm not making it up. I don't know if that's true or not, because I think of, you know, somebody who's blind all their life. But just the absence of light, and when they turn the lights back on, the darkness fled. So, John tells us that the light, who is the Word, shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The darkness didn't understand it. The darkness didn't understand how this light could have so much power over it. Darkness has often been equated to evil. I remember telling my kids as they were growing up, they would always ask to, especially in their later teens, to stay out past midnight. Well, midnight to me equated to darkness. Darkness equated to evil. And I would just tell them, no, because nothing good happens after midnight. When we think of dark things, when we think of what crawls around in the dark, I mean, I'm even thinking, I had this thought, and you know, I don't know if it's something that we can actually use biblical proof texts for. But we know what hell is, don't we? Eternal hell will be spent burning in the lake of fire that was made for Satan and his demons. I have a thought that when we think of fire, we think of what? Not just heat, not just. We think of light. Do we not? It'll be interesting to see how God has planned this, but I kind of surmise that hell will be complete and utter darkness. Kids, as you're growing up, Joseph, you're as close to young as we have right now. It's bedtime. You're going to bed. Your brothers are somewhere else. I don't know. Uncle Jim and Aunt Josephine, wherever they're at. You're home by yourself and it's bedtime. Mom and Dad, being the great parents that they are, they tuck you in. They turn off the lights. And they leave the room. What is going through a young kid's mind at that time? I mean, I don't know if I should or not, but I really enjoy, like, the old Far Side cartoons. And they've got one of a little boy sitting at, laying in his bed with this monster underneath, and his parents tell him, oh, you have nothing to be afraid of. But when it's dark, that's when these thoughts of monsters and other things come out. Things you can't see. Have you ever been walking in your house and it's dark, maybe the lights are out, and somebody in your family who has my kind of sense of humor is hiding and waits for you to come down the hallway and then jumps out? That generally doesn't happen in the light. Scary things are in darkness. And our sin is compared to darkness. So in this light, John begins verse 6. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. Now this specifically is John the Baptist. John the Baptist being the last of the Old Testament prophets. Being the last in as much as it's been 400 years since the children of Israel have seen a prophet. And John comes out as the last of the prophet. His birth was prophesied in the Old Testament. His life had a purpose. I mean, we often say that the purpose of Christ's life was to die, so that he could save the world from their sins. John the Baptist's life was to be a forerunner of Christ, to be a herald of Christ. And his birth was miraculous. I mean, it can be compared to the birth of Isaac in the Old Testament. John the Baptist's mother and father, who were kin to Mary, were in their 80s when they had him. See, guys, there is time for a Jeremy. I want to tell you, I listened to a YouTube thing a few weeks ago. A family member of Beth's is into a lot of strange things. And he sent this to me by messenger. And I don't often entertain myself with stuff like this, but I was curious. And here this guy went on to say that there were actually two messiahs, John the Baptist and Christ. There are some weird things out there. Again, that's why we stick here and nowhere else. And if we were to stick here and nowhere else, we would see in verse 8 that John the Baptist was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. And his purpose is our purpose. Do you want to know what the will of God for your life is? Proclaim the gospel. We can do no greater thing than to be heralds for our Lord and Savior. I mean, John the Baptist had a following. People would come to him to be baptized. And he would baptize them for the repentance of their sins, getting them ready for he who forgives all sins. So he was here to testify about the light. In verse 9, there was the true light, so not John, the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. We are born because of Adam, born in sin. We have this sin nature. That sin nature came with us into this life. We were not born innocent and then sinned to become a sinner. We sin because we are already sinners. And we live in darkness. The Bible uses the examples that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. When we think of death, we think of darkness. The Bible tells us that we are blind to the things of God in darkness. But there is a true light which comes into the world and enlightens every man. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. That may be one of the saddest verses in all of Scripture. I know it's sad personally with interactions from some of our own kids. I know it's true amongst some of you with interactions of your own children. And I'm going to personify this to us right now, kind of allegorize it. As we are in the world, we have made our children, and our children act like they don't know us. That is how everyone treats God. He who created all things. We read that already. It's not he created all the building materials and all the lakes and the trees and the... He created everything, including life. And that creation of life did not know him. Verse 11, he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. Now sometimes we want to take this verse and we want to specify it just to the Jews. Jesus came, he lived in Jerusalem, he came into his own, the Jews, and his own received him not. True statement? But he also came, Paul said he came into the world to save sinners, who Paul says of whom he was chief. So his own could also be his creation. He came into the world to save his own, but his own refused him. Verse 12, but, I love that word, but as many as did receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. The light came into the darkness. And I guess the picture that I get with this, and I don't have personal experience with this. Nobody in this room has personal experience with this. But maybe you know someone. But even in that, they wouldn't know either. Take somebody who was born blind, has been blind all their life, has never seen, and you throw them outside on one of the brightest days in existence. They don't see the light. And that's how we are in our deadness of our trespasses and sins. That's what John was trying to say here. The light of the world came to shine upon us. But he was not recognized. But those that did recognize him, he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Those who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of the will of God. Folks, that's where the power of God within our salvation is of utmost importance. Jesus walked into a funeral one day. The funeral of his dear friend Lazarus. He'd been dead 4 days. Jesus said, "Roll away the stone." Mary and Martha, "Lord, we can't do that. He's going to stink." He was dead. Mary and Martha could not do anything. Running into his dead corpse, they could not say, "Jesus is here." No. All the fanfare of the 12 apostles running in and saying, "Your Lord is here." Nothing. But Jesus, standing in the midst, cried out, "Lazarus, come forth." And at that moment, the light of the world shined into the darkness of Lazarus' dead corpse. And Christ can do the same thing and does do the same thing for us. As He cries out our name, "Beth, come forth. J, Jim, come forth. Ryan, come forth. And as our spiritual eyes are opened to the light of the world and the Spirit of God takes up residence within us. Guys, that John has talked of many miraculous things here in these first 13 verses. Jesus being God, being at the beginning, being the light. We love looking for miracles in our society. We really do. But if we know Christ, we have been partakers of the greatest miracle ever. A dead, blind, spiritual soul being made whole and given life. We have a purpose in this world. Again, do you want to fulfill God's will for your life? Proclaim the gospel. Take the light of the world and shine it upon men and women that need Him. Father, I thank You for this time that we could spend in Your Word. Lord, I pray that You would take what was said today, these words that were planted. Father, may You bring others along to water upon them. And may Your Spirit give the increase. Lord, for those of us who know You, Father, I give praise unto You for how You've worked in our lives. And Lord, if there's any in here that do not know You, Father, I pray that they would cry out unto You. And that the light of this world might open their eyes to the truth of who You are. Thank You, Lord, for all that You've done. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.